everybody, and welcome to the 2012 edition of the We Talkies comic book edition. That's right. It's the We Talk Comics crew. We're going to go around the room. Everybody's going to give their first award. The only award we're going to give all nights, I think, that are not comic related, starting with the man who I've known the longest.
All right. I am going to give an award to the best toy of 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the mighty Franz Trommers. It is the knockoff Optimus Prime toy, the young race champion of the Hotshot. Yes.
We're going to put a picture of this up. Now, by the way, what's your name?
It's Brett. But
well, that's good.
But I would much rather talk
Franz
about
Trommers.
A Franz Trommer. Yes, exactly.
It's it is awesome. I was there.
I went to school with a Franz Trommer. He's a German exchange student.
I was awesome. It was, we were at the dollar store, and Brett picks this up and gives this to me. I'm like, okay, we're not even taking another step. I'm taking a picture of this. I don't care if you're buying it. I must have this on my phone. The Franz Trommer. You cannot imagine the awesome unless you actually physically see it.
It is great. And so it gets a wee talkie for its awesomeness.
It's awesomeness. It's awesomeness for not being awesome. All right. Then the man who I used to live with as a roommate.
I'm Chris. And my award, the joke I've received the most joy from this year. I'll need your help. Keith, what do you get when you cross a centipede with a parrot?
I don't know. What do you get when you cross a centipede with a parrot?
A walkie-talkie. That went over as well as I thought it would.
That's my job, Chris. Bad jokes are my job.
I've enjoyed that one so much.
It's a Franz Trommers.
All right. And the man who this week I had a huge fight with, Keith.
Well, I was going to give it to you. Best fight, Mo and I. We get in heated discussions.
Maybe it was the stupidest fight.
Well, I was going to give a second award so we could each bring a wee talkie home.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have a surprise award, best podcast editing, for Brett Monroe, who had to edit the incredible, colossal nonsense that was the Wee Talkie, the Wee Talk Comics Super Summit.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice.
7 hours it took him.
Yeah, and it probably could have taken longer.
it ended up being 2.5 hours long out of a 4 hours, I think 4 hours worth of audio, and it took him 7 hours to do it. It's amazing. It was an incredible job. And that was Keith, of course. I'm Mo. And you know what? I'm going to give an award to Crackle. Sure, you're not Netflix, but you're free and you have The Prisoner. Good enough for me.
That's a fine start.
Has a fine start. All right, guys, let's actually do this. It is the 2012 Talkies Comic Book Edition, which is probably the only edition, I think, coming up this year. The Wee Talkies. Brett, let's get you to open up with a subject. Let's open up with one major category, your pick, and one, and then afterwards let's come back to you and get you to do one of your smaller categories that you have for yourself.
Oh, wow. Whew. The pressure's mounting right off the bat. All right. Well, I'm going to start out with best writer. That seems a good start.
That's a good start.
So for myself, I'm going to hand out a runner-up award to Matt Kent. I love Mind Management. I enjoyed what he did when he took over Frankenstein Agent of Shade. I'm very excited about the fact that he's got Manhunter coming up. But this is a guy who I think is a really good writer who's really going places. So I'm very happy to announce him as the runner-up. But I have to give my award for best writer to Jonathan Hickman for the Manhattan Projects, Fantastic Four, FF, Avengers, all these good things in comics that keep me excited to read comics.
Chris, your turn, man.
All righty. Well, I'm going to go with one of my little funny ones. Best backstab by a publisher.
No, Chris.
No.
Chris. No, oh. You're doing best writer.
Right, best writer, sorry. sorry.
This is what happens when you miss rehearsal.
That best writer, hands down. And I feel bad because I gave this writer the best writer last year, I believe. Jonathan Hickman delivered a strong finish to the Fantastic Four run. His Avengers comic book, I thought, was one of the best I've read this year as well. Just strong, strong stuff. I wanted to give it to somebody else, but really, I couldn't think of another person that stepped up to the plate quite like Jonathan Hickman. So I have to give it to him.
Good job, Chris.
And I can't wait to hear Best Backstab by a Publisher later. Later.
Yeah.
Later. I can't imagine where that one's going.
Keith?
Well, I can think of a writer who stepped up to the plate more than Jonathan Hickman this year. One of the best graphic novels of the year, some of the best superhero mainstream stuff of the year, and one of the best creator-owned books of the year, Jeff Lemire. Underwater Welder, one if not the top graphic novel of the year, definitely in my top five. You'll find out later in the show if it is my top graphic novel for the year. And as well as the work he's been doing on Animal Man, his revamp of Justice League Dark completely revitalized that book without any kind of feeling that he was abandoning it. Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire, you know what? This is the only category. We have our five major categories: writer, artist, best single issue, best ongoing miniseries or ongoing series. There are major categories, and of course, best publisher. This is the only one to me that was a slam dunk. This is the easiest one, the only one I had no trouble with. It's Mark Waid. Mark Waid is doing a great job. He has won more awards for Daredevil. Takes over the Hulk, makes a tremendous book. More than anything else, he sold his own comic book collection in order to fund a future in digital comic books and attempt to do Insufferable and do something different. He's innovative. He is invested in the industry. He's doing the highest quality work of his career. It's just saying something. Mark Waid, to me, is a slam dunk, the best writer of 2012. All right. Back to Brett.
All right, so it's one of my silly ones then.
Oh, your silly smaller ones.
All right, well, I'm going to give an award for most unusual storyline, and I've been desperate to give this book an award ever since I first read it because I love me some Ted McKeever, and I love me some Mondo, the wackiest three-issue miniseries I may have ever read in my life. And that's saying something, because I love Chu and I love Secret Agent Poyo, but Mondo gets my top pick on most unusual storyline. Crazy chickens, mutant chickens. You know, mutant chickens seem to go around a lot in comic books, and I apparently like it. But Mondo's got sea monsters and crazy things. Oh, it's got it all.
Anybody else have a most unusual pick they want to throw out there?
Apparently not.
I will say this, Brett. I don't want to give an award to this book because it sucked, but if you want to talk unusual storyline, Black Kiss has got to be up there.
it can have another award.
Yeah. I thought it was just random pornography.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Chris, your turn. Let's do it. Now let's hear the backstabber.
The backstabber. Really easy. Marvel. Man, have they screwed me hard this year. Every Marvel regular series I have collected has come to an end, changed creative teams, and gave me new number one. Worst of all, Thunderbolts. First, they changed the title of my freaking book. And then they disregard all of the characters and put characters that have absolutely no business in the comic book together in a new number one. And they put a crappy team on it. I couldn't, just did not.
Everything what about Dark Marvel Avengers, has done. You can just keep reading it in Dark Avengers. It's your Thunderbolts team. They're just now called Dark Avengers. It's still going. There's no change. It doesn't affect you one bit, one iota. You've just changed the title.
Yeah, but they've added the Dark Avengers. That's the problem. I like the Thunderbolts. There's two teams in Dark Avengers.
All right.
And let's not forget the whole, let's put Matt Fraction on every book Chris is collecting.
You like him, though. You like him.
Okay.
You're the one. We read Iron Man number 521 this year just because you're like, no, he's good. Don't worry about that Defenders that you read last year. He's actually good. And that was on my list.
No, he gets the award for best backstab by a writer. Because, you know what, I like what he's doing on Hawkeye, for example. However, every time I go, okay, I am going to prove to the guys that this guy can write, I pick a comic book months in advance to highlight his talents. I get it to you guys. You guys read it. We do a review of it. And I embarrassed. I mean, this has happened 3 or 4 times now. I am embarrassed that I even suggested you guys read it.
But the same thing happened to Keith when he suggested Venom.
There's a curse. Yeah, it happened to Keith with Venom. That's right.
You know, and the funny thing is that when we were looking for through the Wii Views to put on the worst of list, I desperately was searching through the list to see if I could find Defenders so that I could give that the award, probably again. I think I may have given it to it last year, but
I know it was so bad. Unfortunately, we reviewed it in 2011.
You know what? I wanted to give an award for it in one of my silly ones because technically it didn't fall in either category year. We figured it out. It came out the week of the last Wii Talkies. So we couldn't give it a award last year.
I wanted to give it. Maybe we did it in December last year because it came out like December 6th last year or something like that.
Yeah, no, we've been discussing this all week, whether we could include it, and it was decided not. And it pisses me off because that book, oh, man, no, very rarely do I get a bee in my bonnet about one particular comic book for an entire year. That one is just pisses me off because
I can tell. I'm just wondering.
I mean,
before
Tigers
we move on.
Taking out the entire DVD Defenders team. I mean, they got some major characters there. Doctor Strange being schooled by his...
Okay, Chris. Okay, we get it. Okay.
This will be another podcast.
All right, Chris.
The anti-Matt Fraction podcast. I'm sure we can fill it.
I will defend Matt Fraction against the charge that he is a backstabber. You knew it was Matt Fraction when you picked up that book.
I'm just wondering if anybody else is concerned that they were apparently having conversations with Chris when we're not there. All right. Keith, it's your turn. I don't know how the hell you follow that up. I have no idea what you're going to do.
I'm going to go with an award for the most gonzo storytelling of the year. The most, I don't even know what I'm looking at. I love it. It's wacky. You're surprising me every page. Dan Slott for Amazing Spider-Man. He had the twists, turns, and pissing people off, tricking people, fake tweets that people think are leaks. It's fantastic. I love everything he's doing. And as Brett said to me, Dan Slott's dialogue is awful, but his plots are amazing. And I think that held true when I read Spear Spider-Man as well.
But all right.
Amazing Spider-Man 698 to 700.
All right. Sounds good.
I don't think you could argue with that one, eh?
No. I've said that myself many times. All right. I'm going to throw it out. What I'm doing here is I'm not actually throwing out a category. I have compiled, we reviewed 198 books that we ended up with on our list last year. We call it the 198 that we viewed. And I have taken a compilation of the best and worst and got everybody to submit a list. And I'm going to do a countdown as we go on here with the best and worst. We're going to start off with the best. This one is a number five best book that we viewed out of the 198 this year on We Talk Comics. Little Gotham slots in at number 5. Thoughts, anyone?
I love that book.
Fine book. Fine book.
I did not think it would make the list, but I'm happy it did.
You know what? I didn't like it as much as you guys, but I'm happy it did too, because in a year where we kept on talking about, and there was a big topic in the Super Summit about how there's no books to give kids, that's a great book to give a kid.
And I love the extra ones that came out that they put out two in December, which was wonderful.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw it to a friend. We have some of our friends who've also done little lists of some of their picks up, guys who've been regulars or semi-regulars on the podcast and been around, and friends of the show. We have here Comic Canuck, a man I am proud to call my friend while I tease him a lot. I am glad this year to have established a friendship with Comic Canuck, a comic book therapy, the Duke of Geek. I love to make fun of him, but he's a good dude, and he's been really good on the show, and we appreciate the support he's given us. So we're going to throw to him first here with his picks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, I'll just start with my best storyline of the year. My best storyline in 2012 was Amazing Spider-Man 698 to 700. What more can I say? I'm a huge Amazing Spidey fan, and the fact that Dan Slott and team took the character of Peter Parker and did what they did with him by taking him out of the equation, so to speak, was one of the boldest and ballsiest moves in comics that I've seen in a long time. And I have to say, I wasn't angry at Dan Slott. So, moving on. My worst title of the year had to be Talon. Talon number 0 by DC Comics. I just hated it. I don't know why I picked it up, because Night of Owls was a bit of a mess, to say the least. That's all I'm going to say on that. My best marketing of the year for 2012 has to be by far the artist editions from IDW. IDW Publishing is putting out these phenomenal pieces of work. They've got John Romita's Amazing Spider-Man run. They have Gil Kane's The Amazing Spider-Man, as well as Dave Mazzucchelli's Daredevil Born Again. Sorry for the delay. And, it's basically the closest thing you can get to owning the original art without having to pay the kind of prices you would have to pay for this type of art. I recommend you go out and find these and buy them. They're absolutely incredible, whether you're a writer or an artist, especially artists, but it's just fantastic work. My top artist of the year would have to be Fiona Staples on Saga. An amazing series. The art that she draws, she inks, she colors, like she does the whole thing. Name another artist in the industry today that does that with consistency and with the high-end talent and consistent work that she puts out. It's fantastic. My top writer of the year, I'm going to go back again to Mr. Dan Slott. He was really scared about what he was going to do with Amazing Spider-Man, but I trusted him, as did many, and it's just a bold move. I'm sure I'm missing. I'm sure there's a ton that I've missed, but these are off really fresh for me. And I would have to say my sleeper hit of 2012, which is just released its second issue or third issue, is Comeback. Look for this series in your comic stores. Ask for it. It's one of the best time travel stories that I've ever read, probably in the last 20 years. It's actually not a hokey time travel story. It's very cool. So again, thanks for having me on, guys. From all of us at comicbooktherapy.com, we love your show. We love what you do. And we love coming on and talking comics and movies. And I'm out.
All right, Brett. Now it's time for a major category.
Fair enough. I'm going to jump on to Best Publisher. And so this was actually a really tough one for me. I think obviously it wasn't DC, and it's probably not likely to be for a while, but I did have a, you know, I really love the stuff that Image is doing. I think that they've got so many fantastic books. And for so long, Marvel's been doing such crap that I could not imagine a reason why I would give Marvel the best publisher. But at the end of the day, I'm giving Marvel the best publisher because I'm enjoying so much of Marvel now. And frankly, I think it was Spider-Man that pushed it over the edge. I think that what they're doing with Spider-Man is so wacky that I'm going to give them best publisher. I love the Avengers. Love Spider-Man. Looking forward to what's going on in the Hulk. So, you know, that's a winner for me.
It's your award, so I'm going to try not to argue with you. You're going to give an award for only being good for 2 months. It's a 12-month year, Brad.
Yep, and in this case, I am. You know, because the truth is that with Image, the only competitor, as many great books as they put out, they put just as many bad books out. So...
I gotcha. It's your award. Chris, what are you're doing, by the way, best publisher?
Yes, best publisher. You know what? This one, I found myself so surprised by picking this publisher because none of their books have made my even top 10. But it's the only company that I've given a blank check to. I'm buying everything they're producing. They produce a high-quality book for a low-cost, Monkey Brain comic books. 99 cents a comic book, really high quality, everything they do. They publish it, they got my 99 cents. Just blank check there. It's a no-brainer. Good comic books, good price.
Good choice.
Like that. I like that. Keith, man, what do you got?
Intriguing choices. I've got to go with happy anniversary to them, Image Comics. Publisher of the year. The amount of new work that this company put out, yeah, there were some misses. I don't actually agree that it's as many bad as good. I imagine that's going to tip over at least 60-40. Some of the best books, creator-owned works by some of the biggest names, Manhattan Projects, Peter Panzerfaust, one of my personal, definitely my personal favorite book of the year, and so many other graphic novels.
Spoiler!
Yeah, see, or there could be a twist. My favorite book.
Are you
was Spider-Man
introducing
2099.
Captain Hook?
Spider-Man 2099. That's my favorite book of the year. Just consistently try every number one from this book. They have almost every one of their number ones free on Comixology, so I've been able to try all these books. Fantastic publisher, and 20 more years, please.
Oh. Yeah, that's, you know, you guys all do have intriguing picks there. And I, even as you guys are picking, I'm back and forth because this is between two publishers and it's so close to me. Valiant Comics, Valiant Entertainment Studios, I believe is the actual publisher name. They are the only publisher, and I've read every single book they've put out that has not had one bad issue. This is a remarkable job they're doing. They have found underappreciated, underknown talents. They put them on books. They have reinvented characters. They have not published one issue that isn't good to extremely good. And they are rolling out a superhero universe in a very, very intelligent way while doing this, giving us superhero storylines that aren't traditional superhero storylines in that nobody is truly good or truly bad. They're very, very well developed. This is just, they've done a remarkable job. And I want to get, and they've also done a remarkable job with their digital, the way they present their digital books. As much as I want to, everything Keith said is true about Image. I mean, in 2012, Image was where creativity went to live. Live and thrive and be. Yeah, not everything's good. Not everything's going to be. They publish a lot of books. But you know what? It is where if you are looking for whatever it is in this industry that I think is going to take it off and put it back on the map and get people buying again and get people create that buzz that gets people thinking comic books first, that's the publisher it's going to come from, is Image. I'm certain of it. And they win my choice for publisher of the year as well. Wow. Oh, Brett, wacky category.
Wacky category. All right. Well, I'm going to have to just go with my biggest surprise of the year. And I really think, actually, my biggest surprise for me of the year.
Wait. When you say biggest surprise, you mean biggest surprise in something you thought would suck or be good, and it was the opposite, or biggest surprise in a moment when you turned a page?
I'm going to say both in this case. I am going to give it to Spider-Man. The biggest surprise when I turned the page in 698, and biggest surprise as well that I'm actually enjoying Spider-Man again. Those two things combined.
You know what? It's true. With that moment, that was an oh snap moment for me. You know, no question. Chris, wacky category.
Wacky category. Okay, I'm going with the character that just needs to go. And I think it's obvious. I think we all agree on this one. Red Hulk needs to go. he's just awful. I actually like the concept. I defended him for the longest time. I thought he'd find his niche in the Marvel Universe. But I think Thunderbolts have proven that he just needs to go. We can keep the Red She-Hulk. You know, she looks cool. But we need to get rid of this character, the Red Hulk character. Just kill him off somehow. Get him back to General Thunderbolt Ross and just leave him out of the books. But he's in all the books, and he sucks in every one of them. I don't think there's a way to save this man, this character. We need to get rid of him. There's not enough good storyline to justify even keep, like, resurrecting him later. Awful. Hate him.
I got something to say, and so does Keith. So go ahead, Keith.
If you can find a way to kill General Thunderbolt Ross and keep him dead, we're giving you a weak jockey next year. This guy's been put in the ground more times than Professor X.
I thought you were going to say more times than Aunt May. you know what? I got to say this. You know when I see this thing with the Hulk, when I see what has happened with the Hulk over the last 4 or 5 years, I go back to Superman, where it was like Superman was great and he was original. And then you got Supergirl. It's like, all right, well, you got Supergirl. It's pushing it, but there's Superboy. Oh, shit. Now there's a super dog, and there's a super cat, and a super horse, and a super. And all of a sudden, Superman's not original. And then John Byrne comes around and goes, we got to have just one last son of Krypton. We got to have just one Hulk. We can't have all these Hulk characters, Scar and Red this, and give me one Hulk. That's all I want. It's not unique anymore. That's what it reminds me of. Keith, it's your category. Wacky.
All right. I'm going to go with the giganticest waste of time in a crossover event. This could also be called worst storyline. It could be called worst single issue. So many awards that could be given to this one book. It is the issues of Secret Avengers that have the return of Captain Mar-Vell. Not only was this story awful, Not only does this story accomplish nothing, because, and I'm going to spoil it on purpose so you don't read it, Mar-Vell dies again at the end of the story. The story takes place between issues like one and two, or two and three of Avengers vs. X-Men, and it didn't finish until about issue 10 of Avengers vs. X-Men was coming out. So nothing in the story mattered in the least. It was supposed to set up a relationship for the new Captain Marvel. My buddy Matt, who's a big fan of the new Captain Marvel, didn't even know the storyline had happened. That's how much impact this had on the relaunch of Captain Marvel as a character.
Yeah.
The return of Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell. All right. Back down to our lists. We just did the top of number five. Best. We're going to do the number five worst. The Victories from Dark Horse. Michael, what is it? Oving, Fleming, or whatever.
How do you pronounce it? Avon Oeming?
That's it. Michael Avon Oeming's His attempt to
he's like crap.
Yeah, his attempt to hurt humanity. The Victories from Dark Horse, number one. This was so bad. Number five, worst book we reviewed this year on our podcast. Brett, let's throw to somebody else. Who are we throwing to this time?
Who are we going to throw to? Why don't we throw to our good friend, Matt Santori Griffith?
Well, thanks for having me on, Keith. As always, I really love being on the show. I kind of feel a little bit like Cousin Oliver now. We Talk Comics. So if listeners have checked out comicosity.com, most of the staff writers did a best of 2012 column, including myself. So you can check out a lot of my picks for the last year there in the standard categories, but I did have a few wild card categories that I thought I'd run through really quickly for you. The first one is the I Feel 12 Years Old Again award. And that one goes to Earth 2 by James Robinson, with a runner-up, Kelly Sue DeConnick's Avengers Assemble. And Earth 2 really takes me all the way back to like late 80s, when Keith Giffen was taking over the Legion of Superheroes and everything was different and you were being reintroduced to characters for the first time. There were Easter eggs peppered in every issue. And that's exactly what Earth 2 is. It's the kind of title that I can read over and over and over. And it's just seeing these new takes is really, really amazing. Avengers Assemble, you know, the first Kelly Sue DeConnick issue came out in November. So it's pretty late in the year. But it really harkened back to those early Giffen DeMatteis Justice League issues for me. Not too hokey, but definitely humor with personality, beautiful art. It really took me back to when I was a kid. In contrast, the It's Finally Time to Get Off This Train award goes to Legion of Superheroes. The last year, written by Paul Levitz, is the first time in almost 30 years that I officially dropped the book. I couldn't take it anymore. It just really was just not what I was interested in anymore. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I will be jumping back on in February as Keith Giffen jumps back on the book. So it does get one last hurrah for me, as most of these things always do for us. That is the book that I wrung my hands over all year long. The Good Try But Failed Experiment Award goes to Batwoman. J.H. Williams and his co-writer, W. Hayden Blackman, really tried to do this tricky time jump thing for issues 6 through 11 that would have been a really cool thing if it had worked, but it just really didn't. And it didn't really help. I think that Amy Reeder, you know, whose art I really liked before that run, but she seemed kind of in over her head. And that really took a lot of the momentum out of that book. But I think it was a good try. You know, I'd give a runner up maybe to Action Comics by Grant Morrison, except I'm not really sure that it was even as successful as Batwoman. There's some moments in there, but very few moments, unfortunately. And I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan, as everyone knows. The Most Schizophrenic Experience Award goes to Matt Fraction, whose Fantastic Four number one was probably my most disliked book of the year. Maybe even most boring book of the year. Whereas his FF, and especially his first six issues, I think there's been six, on Hawkeye, truly some of the best books of the year, Hawkeye especially. It's hard for me to understand that it's the same writer working on those three books. It's just hard to wrap my mind around. The Missing Nerd Boner Award goes to Saga, because it's a good book. I like Brian K. Vaughan, but I personally don't think it's as great as everyone says it is. But that's just me. I'm not a fan of Fiona Staples artwork. I like Vaughn. I'm hoping that the book feels to me more like Why the Last Man than Ex Machina, but I'm definitely buying it every month. It just it doesn't make my top, for sure, and I know it makes almost everyone else's. The This Is That Book Award goes to the digital first series, Amikami Girls, written by Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti. It's the book that when I hear people complaining on Twitter constantly about how DC's not making any books that are fun, any books that are lighthearted, that are really made for both kids and adults, that's the book I point them to. It is truly, I think, that book for anyone who wants to read a really excellent classic story that's really well written, has great characters. It's really fantastic. The Dumbest Move Yet Award, second to last award I have to hand out, goes to DC Comics for firing Gail Simone from Batgirl. I know that it was rescinded about 2 weeks later, which underscores just how dumb that move really was, all the more. But I will say that I still, a month later, I can't really wrap my head around getting rid of a creator who's doubled the sales on a named book, still riding high, producing really good stuff. You know, I still can't wrap my head around it. But the good news is that they changed their mind. Somebody changed their mind anyway. But likewise, the Smartest Move Yet Award, my last award to hand out, is also for DC Comics. And that would be for continuing to cultivate and bring in new or indie writing talent to their books. One of the chief criticisms of the New 52 originally was that it was a kind of an old boys club. There were a lot of old time writers, Scott Lobdell, George Perez, Tom DeFalco. Well, we've seen now Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire really, taking control of the universe in a really major way. We've seen new talent like Josh Fialkov and John Layman and Jim Zub and Matt Kind and James Tynan IV and Ray Fox and Justin Jordan all coming in, all really doing smart, interesting books. And I just think it's been a very smart thing. It really reminds me of what Marvel did a decade ago when they brought in Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Millar and Ed Brubaker. And I would say, in contrast, Marvel hasn't been doing much of that recruiting lately from my perspective. So I'm hoping that it works out as well for DC as it did for Marvel back then. And that is all I've got. So I thanks again for the opportunity, and looking forward to an awesome 2013.
Thank you very much, Matt. Of course, this is a terrific time. Matt, co-owner of Comicosity. Comicosity, in case you're wondering, is our partner. They normally sponsor the news with Cub Reporter K, and they are sponsoring this episode. Check out Comicosity for all your comic book-related needs, goodies. You got lots of stuff from Brett and Keith on there writing, including their best of lists that they've written down. You have previews and interviews and all sorts of goodies. So Comicosity is a great place to go and proud sponsor of the We Talkies 2012. Brett, where are we going next?
Where are we going to go next? All right. Let's go to Best Artist. Well, and it's for me, it's difficult to hand out an award to Best Artist sometimes because there are a lot of great ones out there. I'm going to give my runner-up to Doug Monk, who draws Green Lantern right now. He does a fantastic job, and I don't normally want to give awards to superhero artists per se, but he really does a fantastic job with that book. And so I'm going to give him runner-up. But for me, the surprise one is Brian Talbot. When I read Granville Bete Noir, I was shocked at his art in it because it was so good. And for me, he went instantly from an afterthought to top of the list. So Brian Talbot for 2012.
Nice choice. Chris, your pick.
All right. I'm going with Mike Allred. Any artist that can make a Matt Fraction book not only readable but enjoyable deserves an award. His FF is one of the strongest books of the year. I absolutely love the FF. And I was expecting not to after the change in creative team, but I read it. I love it. And considering what the same writer is doing to the Fantastic Four in the other title, I can only attribute my enjoyment to the art. His translation of Matt Fraction is absolutely wonderful. So yeah, he deserves kudos for that, and he's always been a favorite. So
yeah, no, he's awesome. I have to say, the only reason I didn't even think of him, and I kind of wish I had, but I mean, because he only did a couple, like what, one or two issues that would have qualified for 2011 or 12. That was why I probably wasn't even on my radar. But I think that's a good pick. Keith, go ahead.
This is such a tough category. I had such a hard time. I've gone back and forth. And actually, I'm going to change what I put in my Comicosity Year in Review after having sat down to reread a couple issues and read a few more issues that were published in 2012. I'm going to give my Artist of the Year to Fiona Staples. Saga is incredible. It is inventive. It is from the layouts to the feel of it, to the incredibly weird stuff that, talk about shocks as you flip the page. That is my choice for Artist of the Year. I also want to say Cover Artist of the Year. I'll throw that in here. Lieber Mayo. Not a lot of covers, but those covers for Rorschach and his cover for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo are incredible, eye-catching, and make you want to pick the books up.
You know, before I give mine here, I just want to say, Keith, I'm intrigued by that pick. I was certain you were going to pick what's the name of it? J.H. Williams? What is
J.H. Williams, who actually was my pick on Comicosity.
Okay, and you told me to avoid your Comicosity one, so I did. So I was certain that that's who you were going to go with, because I do know that you love his work. And, of course, he was doing with Batwoman this year.
Batwoman, and I think if he had done a full 12 issues of Batwoman, then that would have been the case. I probably would have stuck with that all the way to the Wee Talkies. But he took some issues off so had some fill-ins.
Okay, I also had a lot of difficulty with this category. I think there is some terrific guys out there. I like what Clayton Crane does. I love the way he presents his art. He's mostly known for Carnage USA, things like that. Another Clayton, Clayton Henry, did Archer and Armstrong. I think he has the best character design and the best facial expressions in comic books at the moment. I think he's tremendous. Ivan Reese is very much who I look at when I look at presenting a traditional but exciting model of what a superhero artist looks like. But while I think all these are tremendous artists, and I think there's a lot of tremendous, I don't think the art's ever been better than it is now. While I'll say all that, to me, the person this year who has affected me the most as an artist, plus I see him growing issue to issue and still getting better, which is what's really amazing. And I said on the interview we did with Curtis J. Weeb about Peter Panzerfaust that his artist, Tyler Jenkins, is so goddamn talented. And I absolutely stick by that. He's been working to make it so that the facial expressions and the look of the characters becomes more distinguished. And that was the only thing that, as the series kicked off, that I think he could work on. And he's been really improving on that. He has a style that you look at it, and that's Tyler Jenkins. There's nobody else like him. There's nobody else you would confuse him with. It's not cartoony, and yet it is. It doesn't have detail, and yet at no point in time do you never understand. Do you never fail to see the mood? His ability to create expressions on people's faces with the most minimal changes in lines and create mood and tell you their emotions is remarkable. I think this guy's just incredible. And I am a big, big fan of his work. And I don't think enough people talk about Tyler Jenkins' art and Peter Panzerfaust. So that is my pick absolutely for Artist of the Year. Keith, go ahead.
The way that Tyler's art has evolved over these past couple issues is amazing.
Yeah, he changed his art style as the narrator in Peter Panzerfaust changed. It was a subtle change, but distinctive as well. And that's another thing to me that really sealed him as best artist this year. So, yeah. Okay. There we go. Brett, what do you say? I want to do another countdown. We haven't done that many yet.
No, that's absolutely right. We're going to run out.
We're going to run out here. So we're going to do number four best reviewed book this year that we did on our podcast in the WeView section was Amazing Spider-Man number 698. Absolutely, it did stand out. Brett, let's go and do another wacky category. What do you say? Or do we want to hire somebody else?
Nope, I'm happy to do one. It's this one I created a little while ago, and because there was somebody that was sticking out in my head that I was really missing this year, that I hadn't read anything by them, and it made me sad. And then just recently, I found out that they were just coming out with a new book. So that made me happy. So it doesn't quite give them this award. Well, it gives them this award anyways, but it's not quite as true as it was. The Who Did You Miss Most in 2012 award, I'm giving it to J.M. DeMatteis, because mm-hmm. I missed his work for a long time. He now has The Adventures of Augusta Wind, and I've just started reading that, and it's his usual awesome self. So I am totally looking forward to finishing it. J.M. DeMatteis.
The time
and,
is J.M.
And just stepped in to co-write Phantom Stranger.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's,
awesome.
He's scripting Brilliant. Phantom Stranger for Steel.
Well, there we go. See, I mean, it's going to be a good 2013 with him back.
Keith, or no, Chris, you got a wacky category?
Sure, I got a wacky category. Well, it's not so much wacky, but I feel it needs to be covered on the podcast. Best digital first comic book. For me, this year, digital first comic books have been a staple in my life, probably for the first time. And no title has been more important to get for me to get weekly. Legends of the Dark Knight. If you're not reading this, it's cheap, it's fun, it's the best book, the best bang for your buck. DC's putting these out weekly, different creative teams every week. It's the Batman I want. It no continuity problems, not a big commitment. Hit a Batman every week, enjoying it greatly.
Mm.
I want to give actually an award out for that one too. So
yeah, I'm going to just say Batman Beyond. I really enjoyed what it gave me every time I read it. I haven't read them all, but Batman Beyond I thought was really, really good this year. Brett?
Well, Chris spoke of Monkey Brain earlier, so my runner-up is going to go to Edison Rex because I thought that was a great book. But my number one for me has got to be Cowboy. That was a fantastic book by Iliopoulos and Nate Cosby, and it's on my list of best graphic novels of the year, and it's just awesome. I recommend it for everybody.
Keith, you have one of those too, or
I do indeed. Cowboy was so great. I got it at it was a digital sale a few weeks ago for $5. It was awesome. My runner up would be Masks and Monsters from Monkey Brain, which I know wasn't a hit with everyone on the show, but I was quite taken with it and I've stayed with it. My top ongoing digital first, Legends of the Dark Knight. Chris said, it is as excited as I am for New Comic Day on Wednesdays, I get extremely excited for New Legends of the Dark Knight Day on Thursday morning.
Keith, it's your turn for a wacky category as well.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Jump Off Point. Best Jump Off Point. Lots of jumping on points happening in comics these days, but every once in a while, it's time to leave it alone. And unfortunately, after being named my favorite comic, given the Weetalkie by me for best book last year, Venom, I am giving the best Jump Off Point to Circle of Four, one of the worst mini events ever misthought up. And it just destroyed the pace of that book. It loaded it up with
Red Hulk.
It had Red Hulk. It had the female Ghost Rider, who no one will remember by the time you hear this podcast. It had X-23. It was a horribly...
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that now. That was awful.
Yep.
This was also the time that I wanted the AIs to try out Venom, yeah. Which...
yeah,
yeah, that's right. That was the 13.1. That's the 13... Right?
It was also the only time that they've made you do algebra. It was 13, 13.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, and 14 was the entire crossover. So painfully bad, and the book never recovered. And then once Remender left, that was it for me.
I thought Remender was going to be on your list for top writer for this year. I know you do like what he does.
I have quite mixed feelings about Remender. I will try anything he does, but it is. He also wrote The Return of Mar-Vell, so you know it is a roll of the dice with that guy.
There you go.
He's right, your Matt Fraction.
He is my Matt Fraction.
Yes. And on that, I'm going to say the number four worst book we viewed this year on the countdown. Worst book, number four, Venom 13.1.
I knew that had to be coming. I was thinking, man, that was on my list. So.
It was. It made three out of the four people had it in their worst 15. So
who was the one who didn't?
Keith.
Is what I want to know.
Keith was the one who didn't. Yeah, terrible, terrible book. All right, Brett, time for another major category. What do we got going on?
Wait, before we do another major category, I want to do sort of a minor category.
So it's not about you. It's not about you, is it? It's about me. Brett, let's move on. What's the major category we're doing?
All right, we're going
to
move.
I'm not moving on.
No?
Don't you tell me to move on. I'll tell you when to move on if someone's getting told when to move on.
You apparently think this is a really important category. What do you got?
Well, I know what Brett's about to go to, but I feel strongly that original graphic novel is a different category than single issue. So the demands of a single issue monthly, what it needs to accomplish, are so different than the graphic novel form. And I think graphic novel should be its own category. Now, for 11 months of 2012, I was sure that I was going to give best original graphic novel to Jeff Lemire's Underwater Welder. And then Mo introduced me to a amazing graphic novel called The Red Diary.
Mm-hmm.
That was so phenomenal. A book that Terry Christensen and Steven T. Siegel, two writers who took the same artwork and wrote two different stories. Terry Christensen had written it originally was it Danish mode?
He originally wrote it in French, but then he wrote it in Danish. The translation Siegel did is from the Danish script.
Yeah, and he didn't translate it. He took the artwork and what he could guess at, because he doesn't actually speak Danish.
Yeah, he doesn't speak Danish, so he took the words that, if he could find a word and find the translation, the English to Danish translation, he would put that word in. If it didn't seem like it made enough sense, he just kind of filled in the gaps. So it's not a direct translation, and yet it worked brilliantly.
And what this is a flip book. The Red Diary is in the color on one side, and the Red Diary as in to read, past tense of to read, on the other, and is the same artwork twice, but different dialogue, different storyline. It's amazing. And this was my Comicosity pick for original graphic novel of the year. And then I read an original graphic novel called Remind. Lowercase r, lowercase e, capital M,
Remind.
Capital I, capital N, capital E. By Jason Brubaker, who is he's been working for DreamWorks Animation.
Brubaker, any relation?
I do not believe so. And it is amazing, ridiculously amazing. It is the first volume is free on Comixology, 140 pages. It is 70 odd two-page spreads. This was a graphic novel funded by Kickstarter. It is amazing, and as I said, free. You can try the first volume free. I immediately bought the second volume. It was incredible. And do any of you guys want to jump in with an original graphic novel before we go to the major category that Brett has been trying to get us to?
Well, I would certainly like to. Before I jump into that major category, I am absolutely going to jump in with a graphic novel. And it harkens back to my favorite artist, Brian Talbot. I am going to give my favorite of the year to Granville Bete-Noir. It's an anthropomorphic scientific detective story, an alternate Earth style story with animals, and I wasn't sure what to expect when I picked it up. I started looking through it because I had just read something, you know, that said, oh, this could be up for an Eisner. And so I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot. Why not? I'm going through a whole bunch of stuff. After about 10 pages, I was completely hooked. And in fact, I couldn't stop reading it despite the fact that I was at work. So I read the entire thing while I was supposed to be working because I enjoyed it so damn much. Now, I haven't read Red Diary or Remind, so I am eagerly anticipating doing so. But Granville Bete-Noir is my pick.
You know what? I am going to talk a little bit about original graphic novel, kind of when we're talking about best single issue, I'm going to hold off here. But Chris, did you have one?
Yeah, I did actually. Darwin Cook's The Score, the third or fourth in his adaptations of Richard Stark's work, the Parker novels. My personal favorite Parker novel, The Score adapted, is absolutely beautiful, wonderful story. Loved it.
Parker novels, what do you mean?
Parker novels. Richard Stark wrote a series of Parker novels. One of which is being
It's a series of novels with a character named Parker. Yes, I think that's the bit Mo's missing.
Yes.
It's not a type of novel. It's a novel with a character
named Parker. What is a Parker?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to... All right. Damn it. Brett, let's move on. You know what? Instead of major category, let me just do more in the...
Please. I'm excited for this. I want to know.
We did... I did best number 3 saga last time, didn't I?
Nope.
No, I didn't.
So that is best.
The number 3 list on our countdown. Saga number 1. Saga number 1 is number 3 on the best list. Okay, we're going to move on here, Brett. To a major category. Which one are we doing again?
Really, a major category. Okay. All right. We are going to do the top single issue of 2012.
Yeah, Brett, and that's what we're going to do.
Yes. And for me, I am going to award this to FF23. I actually was reading this one just after we did our final issue show, and as I was reading it, because I had read the final issue of Fantastic Four, and I thought, oh, that was really good, and then I read FF, and it blew me away. There was so much heart, there was so much great stuff in this book that I was floored, and I absolutely loved it. And it's probably the number one reason why Hickman got my best writer of the year, because not only could he do Manhattan Projects, but he also did this. Radically different, brilliant.
Chris, it's your turn.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking Hickman got my writer of the year as well, and Brett took mine. Throwing me off a little bit, but instead, I'm going with my second favorite book of the year, which is...
No, you're not. No, Brett, it's your favorite. It's not your second favorite. It's your favorite. Doesn't matter if somebody else takes it.
Favorite single issue.
Doesn't matter if somebody else... Add to what Brett said.
Okay. No, it was the perfect wrap-up to a perfect series.
You can highlight your runner-up still, but that doesn't mean you ignore...
All right. No, I was almost going to go with this other one anyway, but whatever. The last issue of the FF was the perfect wrap-up. Had all your characters. There's so much comic book goodness and geeky goodness. Stuff harkening back years. Characters that I'd forgotten about pop up. And I just love the series, and the final issue left me satisfied. I was going to go over to Avengers number 1, the Avengers number 1, which Hickman jumps on right after this, and it is also a wonderful book. One I was not expecting to enjoy as much, and I don't know why I didn't think Hickman would do a great job with Avengers, but it also is one of my favorite books of the year.
All right, Keith, it's your turn.
The only single issue that made me cry, Peter Panzerfaust #4. Incredible issue, great art. And it's funny, when we reviewed #1, I had said, the only negative that I said was that I had trouble kind of differentiating these characters enough. I was having trouble connecting. And then in the space of 4 issues, to get to the end of that issue and have a character die and, you know, tears well up. Amazing story. Amazing book. And my favorite single issue of the year.
Mm. See, I view favorite single issue a little differently than you. I can view a single issue, for me, it can be a graphic novel, it can be a one-shot, it can be a issue in a series. Just because when I think of my favorite single issue, I think that's a favorite thing. The one thing that's my favorite thing when I sat down to read all year. And, you know, I mean, Bedlam #1 blew me away. It was remarkable. It was so brave. Utterly brave. The bravest book I can think of in a long, long time. I think it's amazing. But in the same way, it's probably too disturbing to put as my #1. Flash #0 was my favorite of the 52, and they did the zeros, and it blew me away. If I sampled more Manipul's art, maybe he would have won my Artist of the Year. It was tremendous. And Underwater Welder, as far as telling a story, I'm not so sure it didn't tell the best story of the year. But, I mean, for me, Red Diary, if I'm going to say single issue, single best thing where I sat down and enjoyed it the most, that is it. It is the book where I go, like, there's not a lot of, like, Underwater Welder is a brilliant graphic novel. And I feel like I've read brilliant graphic novels again in the past, and I will read them in the future. Similar to this is a very personal work and a brilliant work, but I've read like that. There's nothing quite like Red Diary. This flip book where, like you say, they two different stories with the same art. Just when it's a new concept in comic books, and it's presented so beautifully in this hardcover graphic novel with this gorgeous paper from Image and oversized graphic hardcover graphic novel. So it's the presentation being as beautiful as it is, combined with the innovative, and there's still new ways to do stuff. They're still innovative. I wish they were doing this regularly. I wish there was a series where somebody was regularly drawing art and then two different writers had to tell the same story with the art and themselves afterwards. Like, it's just new. And it deserves its kudos for that. So that is, for me, the best single issue. It's an original graphic novel, of course. So it may not have counted, but that's the one I'm going with. I'm going to go to our #3 in our worst list. #3 of the worst books we reviewed this year is X-Men #1. What a piece of donkey crap that was. So
there were worse season ones, but we just chose not to even talk about them.
We kind of gave up on the season ones. That one scared us away. Like, this was just so, I only made like 12 pages in or something, and I couldn't do anymore. Like, it was so freaking bad. It literally is. It's like I say, it's made 3 out of our 4 lists, as did Venom. Amazing. Amazingly awful.
This is why Marvel is the backstabber of the year, man.
Yeah, this is why they're not publisher of the year. That thing.
Oh, God.
The beauty of season 1.
This concept.
They got 3 and 4.
This concept of giving us a crappy story attached to a reprint comic book, not a lot of pages, and then charging us an insane amount for a graphic novel and saying it to our first time readers, this is whoever came up with this idea should be
written by I think people who've never written comic books, or at least those characters before, because they sure didn't seem to understand them. It was awful.
Yeah, and to market that as introductory books, who walks into a store and goes, I want to try my first comic book. Give me one that's $30.
Yeah, morons. All right, I'm sure it made them money. That's what it's all about. Brett, let's throw to our buddy, the Lombok's Graveyard.
All right.
Who does the Long Box Graveyard podcast here on We Talk Podcasts, part of our We Talk Comics side projects. I don't know if you call them that or what do you? Family.
He's part of the family.
Yeah. It's either way. Long Box Graveyard has given us about 5 minutes of his favorite stuff from the year, some awards that he's going to give out. So we're going to go to Paul. Paul, your turn.
Hello, We Talk Comics crew. This is Paul O'Connor of the Long Box Graveyard podcast, and thanks for this opportunity to contribute to your survey of the best and worst comics in 2012. As you guys know, and as listeners of my Long Box Graveyard podcast will know, I am stuck in 1978, and I don't read many contemporary comics. I do pick up the occasional trade, but it's been literally decades since I read monthly comics, so my impressions of the current comic scene are going to be less relevant than yours. Now, if you're asking for the best of 1978, okay, I could enthuse about Master of Kung Fu and Micronauts and the Avengers and the continuing renaissance of the uncanny X-Men. I'd be excited about how Steve Englehart, Marshall Rogers, and Terry Austin were revolutionizing the Batman in the pages of Detective Magazine. And I'd complain about the DC implosion and the cancellation of Jack Kirby's Eternals over at Marvel. Maybe I'd have the wisdom to call out ElfQuest as the best new book that no one was reading. But this isn't 1978, it's already 2013, and we're looking back at 2012. And I confess, I didn't pay a lot of attention last year. But I'll tell you the things I noticed, for good or for ill. I didn't read a single new Marvel comic in 2012. But I did read some of the first wave of the collected New 52 from DC. I covered this in detail on my December podcast. I liked what I read, especially Aquaman, Supergirl, All-Star Western, Demon Knights, and even Frankenstein Agent of Shade, which isn't a great book, but I found it fun. I like Saga from Image Comics, which I read in collected form. And I like some of the DC Comics digital offerings, especially Legends of the Dark Knight and the Amikami Girls. I was also pleased to see Marvel Comics converting their digital libraries from Flash to HTML5, meaning I can finally read my Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited subscription on my iPad, which came out in open beta in December. I think I'd also point to a landmark year in geek cinema, with the Avengers pulling in $1.5 billion in worldwide box office, which pleases me because I quite like that film. We also had a flawed but entertaining final chapter in Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, an unnecessary but competent Spider-Man movie, and a John Carter movie that crashed and burned and broke my heart as a longtime fan of that property. For the worst of the year, everything pales beside the unspeakable tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, which deeply wounded not only our geek community but our country. Such a horrible thing that it's off the charts for this kind of survey. But I hope you will continue to remember the victims of Aurora and pray for them, if you're the praying type. Back here in the toy department in the world of comic books, I'm sure there were the usual failures and pratfalls, but again, I don't keep up, and these things will have shaken themselves out before I get around to cherry-picking the best of 2012 in collected form. I suppose I might blow a raspberry to Cartoon Network for jerking around with the schedules of Young Justice and Green Lantern, the animated series, but really, there wasn't a lot last year that rose the level of exciting my ire, and of course, nothing comes remotely close to what happened in Aurora. I will say it's been my pleasure to participate in the hobby through my Long Box Graveyard blog and my Long Box Graveyard podcast. With the podcast especially, I'm thankful for the platform afforded me by Mo and all the guys at We Talk Comics. I look forward to speaking with you on my podcast in the year ahead. So thanks, WTC guys, for letting me share my thoughts on this year just passed. Please accept my best wishes for 2013, you intrepid podcasters and the audience alike. Thanks for doing what you do, and let's hope that when we're looking back again in 12 months' time, that we're all together and happy and healthy and enthusing that 2013 was the best year ever, both inside comics and out. Happy New Year.
Back from the Long Box Graveyard. Back to a major category or wacky one? Brett, let's do wacky.
Alrighty.
Any wackies left?
Well, I have one that that ultimately turned out not very wacky, but I wanted to bring it up anyways. It was a favorite comic moment of 2012. And this one has a little bit of added significance right now, because I want to go back to the Calgary Expo. And I know that I already told the story on the podcast, so it's not really worth retelling. But for me, one of my absolute favorite moments was getting to spend a few minutes kind of alone hustling through a building with Peter David. And you know, I was of course saddened to hear that he had a stroke, and I certainly do hope that everybody helps out and supports him in that way, in you know, by buying whatever they can to help him out. But it's one of those moments that I come back to, you know, just for myself, as just so much damn fun. It excited me, you know, just knowing that we were going to be able to record his panel, and then just kind of getting thrown into this, hey, can I walk with you? Well, we go to the panel, and it was so spontaneous that it really stands out for me as a great comic book moment for the year.
Yeah, absolutely, Brett. You know, again, I said it at the time, and again, all best wishes to him and his loved ones. And I said it at the time that we did it. If you go back, you're going back in the archives, and it's almost an hour with him. What we did is he gave us permission to record the panel he did, which is just so awesome. Then he actually gave me a few minutes to interview him alone afterwards. So we have almost an hour with him. And if you haven't heard it, I recommend you go back in the archives and find it, an hour with Peter David. It's just so good. But it's how good to us. He had no reason to be good to us. I mean, he's already Peter David. And he was just... he was so good to us, and you know, he could do a lot more for us than we can for him. And like I say, that's, you know, he really, I always do appreciate it, and definitely with what's happened, Brett. I agree. Brett, I don't think you can go, though, without telling that you have told the story before, but you have to tell the story about what he said about San Diego.
Well, just that of course, that he likened it to the running of the bulls in Pamplona, only at least the bulls may offer you a chance.
A bit of mercy.
A bit of mercy.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I just as a tweet, the best place to buy something from Peter David is from Crazy 8 Press, because that is where he gets the most money from those, and that will help out in his rehab.
And as well, if you're wondering how to get them, you can go to our Friends of We Talk Comics button at the top. Crazy 8 Press is among our friends. It's always been there ever since he granted us the interview. So, you know, that's an easy way for you to find it. Chris, you got a wacky category?
I don't know how wacky this is. Well, it's quite wacky. I didn't think that anyone else would nominate Mo for a We Talkie. And you guys know, and I'd like all our listeners to know, Mo puts in a lot of work behind the scenes, keeping the website running and keeping us all on track. Me, that's especially hard, and it is appreciated. But what We Talk, Talkie, could we possibly give Mo? And I've decided to give him worst comic book pitch ever. This comic book pitch from our comic book pitch show.
Which one of the three horrible pitches that I gave?
is it Team Hawkman?
I have nightmares about this. A book that all the characters on a team book have the same power. A team of Hawkman that he'd liberate the birds of prey.
What about the Green Lantern Corps? They all have the same power.
Oh. Yes, but they use it differently. Wings. You can't use wings differently. They all use... I mean, guns could take out this team. Just a machine gun across the sky. Done. I hated this pitch. Mo, you deserve a We Talkie. And there you go.
Awesome. I liked how we were supposed to pretend to be editors during the pitch. And when I threw out the Team Hawkman and I threw out the different characters of Bean Hawkman, Keith is like, yeah, I never even heard of those guys. I'm like, no, you're supposed to be one of the editors. You can't say that. Editors know their own characters.
I don't know about that. Ask Rob Liefeld about that.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, Keith.
I'm gonna go with best world building. Now we've had there's a lot of relaunches. There's a lot of certainly the stuff Valiant's doing is quite incredible as they build their universe back up rapidly, but well paced. But I'm gonna give best world building to James Robinson for Earth 2. I just read the latest issue. The latest issue doesn't even have any of the main characters in it, and it's still one of the most engaging books I've read in the past month. It's an incredible book. He has the whole place to play with, and every once in a while you hear a rumor that there's going to be a second Earth 2 book, but if it's not by James Robinson, I don't want it to exist. I want him to have all the control. I don't even like they do stuff in World's Finest. I just want James Robinson to be working on his own. Amazing book.
All right. How many more wacky categories does everybody have?
Not much.
Brad, how many you got?
Well, pretty much zero. I mean, I'm sure I could invent one, but...
Chris, how many have you got?
I'm done as well.
Okay, and you got two, Keith.
Two.
Well, I'm going to throw out one. They said I'd be kind of doing the countdown instead. But I just want to say best cover of the year. I was a big fan of the Carnage USA number one cover. Carnage kind of draped in the United States flag. I think that's also cool. But a very similar theme. I thought Bloodshot number one, kind of the character of Bloodshot, also overlooking a flag and guns in the air. And it's just a really, really cool cover. For me, Bloodshot number one is the cover of the year. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
I want to go with Mars Attacks for simple, volume.
How about Mars Attacks?
Still holding the record. Still holding the record for most variant covers. Not going to get unseated by JLA.
Fantastic. How about Mars Attacks Popeye that they just did?
Or Mars Attacks Kiss.
Yeah.
That'll be up next year.
I'm sure
several awards.
Although then we would have to read it, and that could be an issue.
I'm going to go into worst here. I'm going to go into our number two pick for worst book, and I'm just going to mention then, because you mentioned it, Black Kiss, Dressed to Kill, which was a horrible book, and I was the only one to have it on my list. Actually, the list is kind of interesting, because one of the things about the list is there's some books that were on some people's best and worst. Like Hawkeye, number one, was on somebody's best and somebody's worst. Human Bomb was on somebody's best and somebody's worst. Axe Cop was on somebody's best and somebody's worst. Brett's was really interesting, because Brett had very few picks that weren't – one of us didn't also have a pick. So, no matter what he did, he didn't have – whatever his opinions, I guess he's the best base sample of how good a book is or how good it's affecting us, because if he liked or didn't like it, one of us probably also picked it. He was almost always doubled up, and that's kind of interesting. I actually doubled him up the most, which is also kind of interesting. Keith the least. Keith had very few books that were doubled up by anybody. His tastes were very, very different than everybody else, which is also kind of interesting, I thought. So we're going to move on to the number two worst book of the year. All four of us had this on their list. Black Kiss, Volume 2, Number 1. Black Kiss, Volume 2, Number 1.
Not surprised about that. Yeah.
No, so awful. So horrible. Number 2, worst book. I'm also going to do it. I'll just do it now then. The Frankenstein Alive is our number 2 best book of the year from IDW. Kind of under the radar, probably because it shipped in May, and number 2 didn't ship till November, I don't think. But Frankenstein Alive, written by Steve Niles, but it's the beautiful art of Bernie Wrightson that I think blew everybody away. That's our pick for the number 2 best book that we reviewed this year. Certainly people want to track it down, I think. All right, Keith, why don't you give us another wacky category here, since you got a couple left. And why don't you throw them to – you talk to Ryan Ferrier. He's got some picks for us.
I did indeed, and I can make those things go together. I'm going to give a wee talkie for – the best legal-based drama / comedy featuring a talking tiger. I'm going to give this award to Tiger Lawyer, number one. And number two, which I supported on Indiegogo. And I did have a couple minutes with Ryan Ferrier. Let's hear some of his categories now.
Hi, this is Ryan Ferrier. I am the writer of Tiger Lawyer and The Brothers James, and here are my best of 2012 picks. Up first, I have the best animal moment, and I'm an animal comics guy, but I have to give it to Pizza Dog from Hawkeye for having the most memorable animal moment of the year, and I guess that would also be the best pizza moment of the year. Up next, we have the best tracksuit moment, which also goes to Hawkeye with the tracksuit Dracula character from issue 3, which is also probably the best issue of the year, in my opinion. And probably, barring the issue 6, the Christmas issue, that's probably the best issue in the series as well. Following that, I have chosen the best car chase. Goes to an unknown, relatively lesser-known comic, which is also one of my favorites of the year, called Bad Cat Comics, and that's from artist Tim Doyle out of Austin, who's really, really talented and has he mostly does a lot of fine art stuff, but he released this comic book earlier in the year, last year, and it's really fun. And basically, what makes it the best car chase is that it's an El Camino driven by cats, and they had just rescued a shark. So there's like a shark tank in the back of the El Camino. And I won't spoil how that car chase ends, but it's amazing. And I do recommend you check it out. You can actually, I'll plug that one. You can check that out at NakatomiInc.com. You can buy that comic. Beautiful book. Best monster moment. I'm going to give it to James Stocco's Godzilla Half Century War. This book really surprised me because I'm not a huge Godzilla guy, and I think it's kind of hard to do Godzilla in a comic book format, but every issue is jam-packed and slam-packed with heavy-hitting monster madness. I didn't write that down. That was all impromptu, by the way. Best holy crap moment, and I can't stress holy crap enough, is in Saga, when the stock reveals her body. I was in bed reading it, and I literally gasped. It was such an amazing, terrifying moment. Coming up next, the penultimate pick, best use of historical figures. It might be knee-jerk reaction to go with Deadpool, who is now fighting zombie presidents. But I give that prize to the Manhattan Projects, which is a really fun book from Jonathan Hickman and Nick Patara. And finally, being a design guy, I had to pick best book design, which is something that can often go overlooked in comics. And that goes to Revival, with design by Sean Dove, and that's from Image Comics. And it's just a beautifully laid out, thoughtful book. It's really nice design, and it's a great comic on its own. And that is my best of the list for 2012.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Ryan. And what do you want to plug right now?
I've got some cool stuff coming out through my self-publishing imprint, Challenger Comics. You can find that at readchallenger.com. And there's quite a lot of stuff coming out this year from lots of up-and-coming indie creators, putting out lots of shorts and one-shots and stuff like that. I've got a one-shot coming out with Chris Peterson and Ed Ryzowski in February called Ultranova through Challenger, and Tiger Lawyer 3 is coming out in February through Challenger, and Brothers James 2 is coming out in March through Challenger. So lots of stuff.
Fantastic. And Tiger Lawyer 1, 99 cents on Comixology?
That's right.
Fantastic. Happy New Year, Ryan.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Thanks again, Ryan. And we'll be looking forward to Tiger Lawyer number 3 coming soon.
All right. We will. How do you want to do this? Let's do, are we going to do a big one? Then we're going to do the countdown. Do we want to do the countdown? We want to do Keith's other category? What do you guys think?
Well, I've got one possible category, and I've got a listener suggested category that is
all right. Let's hear your category, and then let's do the listener suggested. What the hell?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with, because as you all know, I love my Twitter, and I'm going to go with Meltdown of the Year. Mm. Rob Liefeld. Rob Liefeld, who stormed out of the room for 5 days. And it's not over yet, because he was nice enough to spoiler within a couple of hours today here in early January, the ending to Superior Spider-Man number one, and then pretended that he hadn't.
He's an incredible douchebag.
He is amazing, to the point where we're wondering if it's like a character that he's assuming as opposed to anything he's doing on purpose, or not on purpose, as I should say. But yeah, he's actually being such a big D-bag now.
Yeah, kind of wonder. But who's the guy who did that thing about chicks at conventions are just teases?
It's not Tony Moore.
Harris?
It's Tony Moore.
All right, if you're gonna give Twitter Meltdown of the Year, then he deserves Facebook Meltdown of the Year.
Facebook Meltdown.
Yeah. All right. What else? What's our listener suggested? Who suggested
this? This comes from our pal Paul Hicks, Reading Hicks on Twitter, This is sort of for it can be that and it can be for this year. I'm going to make it for this year. He wanted to know if there was a book that we dropped and then realized later that we were incredibly wrong. And I do have one, because I sat and read the first six issues and loved them. Winter Soldier is my pick. I did not give this a good review when I read it. I still stand by that it's a lousy jump on point. To be a number one, but having now read the entire Brubaker Captain America over the course of December and the first arc of Winter Soldier, it's a remarkable book. So glad that I've taken another look at it.
You know, if I was to give one, the one that I didn't continue with, even though I thought it was pretty good, like I say, as a writer, even though he's won two people's Writer of the Year, I'm not a fan of what Hickman's done. That said, I kind of wish I stuck around with Manhattan Projects, because I think that's the one I would probably appreciate the most. I kind of kick myself for not giving that a longer chance.
It's fantastic.
You guys have one?
Yeah. I'm going. Oh, do you want to go, Chris? Go for it.
Sure. Hawkeye. Actually, I did not like the first issue. I thought once again Matt Fraction was phoning it in, and I think once again he's saved by the art.
Aja. Yeah.
I read the first six issues and really got into it. It's a good series.
Mm. Brett?
I'm gonna go with Justice League Dark. The first issue that I read was okay, and then the zero issue was okay. And ultimately, knowing that, with Lemire's writing and stuff like that, it's one of those series that I actually wish that I had read more of.
All right. Cool. Nice. I like that category. Thank you very much, Reading Hicks on Twitter. I'm going to finish up the countdown here. Once again, our worst of the year. Number five, The Victories, number one. Number four, Venom, 13.1. Number three, X-Men Season 1. Number two, Black Kiss Volume 2, number one. And the worst book that we reviewed during the podcast on our We View section all year, all four of us hated this one as well. Offensive both for its content and for its quality, Iron Muslim. Iron Muslim number one. Horrid book. Horrid. Any comments, boys?
It ain't bleeding cool.
Yeah. Rumor is, it stinks.
It's not bleeding cool at all. It stinks. And the best book that we reviewed, 198 books. This was the one that, as a group, we enjoyed the most. Again, the countdown. Number five, Lil Gotham. Number four, Amazing Spider-Man 698. Number three, The Wonderful Saga. Number two, The Underappreciated Frankenstein, Alive, number one. And number one, the highest rated book, the only book that all four of us had in our top 15 list, number one, Peter Panzerfaust, number one. No surprise there. Yeah, I mean, the Peter Panzerfaust, obviously, and these guys are
And I was kind of surprised we didn't win anybody's Writer of the Year, actually, to tell you the truth as well.
He's on my list. I think he's number three, actually.
Yeah, Peter Panzerfaust kind of cleaning up for us because it's so damn good. So Peter Panzerfaust, number one, was our favorite book out of 200 books we reviewed this year as a group. All right, Brett, I think it's time for the big category then, our final one.
All right, best series? Well,
this series, ongoing or mini?
Well, for me, there really was only one decision that I could make on this one. It's the primary book that I need to go out to a comic book store and buy physically. I will also buy it digitally, and I will also buy it in trade paperback, and I will maintain all of those. It's Mind Management. It is an amazing series, and it's a series that has different things in every single version, which is both super cool and super annoying as hell, but it's an awesome series, and it is really what got me back into reading again, into really reading and collecting comics again.
Brett, I gotta say, based on how much you love it, I read it over the last couple of weeks. It is a brilliant book. If people don't know what it is, it's like Harbinger from Valiant. If Harbinger was written brilliantly. If it was the smartest and most cerebral take you could possibly imagine on a similar concept, it's a really remarkable read. It really is. Good choice, Chris.
This is not going to come for a huge surprise for people who that know me, but Thief of Thieves, I think, is a superior book. Kirkman's kicking it on The Walking Dead. Walking Dead is wonderful. Invincible is wonderful. But Thief of Thieves, hands down, I care about every character. They're like people in my life. If they rob people. I just love this book. Can't recommend it enough. It would definitely go on my desert island comic book collection. Just love it.
It's another great series. I'm reading that one too. I love it too. Another great pick.
I read it just prior to doing the Comicosity once, and I liked it for sure. I think I didn't like the first issue that much, but I think as a whole,
first issue was very much a setup issue.
Yeah,
really setting the stage a lot of the ways. But when the action gets moving, it's a really, really strong book, too.
It will be interesting to see what Andy Diggle brings to the story.
And I think Andy Diggle's awesome, so I'm not worried. I think he's tremendous. Keith, I guess, big surprise. We don't know what's coming here, but what's your pick?
We have made a horrible mistake structuring the show to build the drama. Me talking about my favorite ongoing series.
ongoing series, yeah, exactly.
This show is, you may have to play this back backwards, Brett, to actually get the drama. Bought in print, bought digitally, bought the trade, bought a second trade to give someone for Christmas. Peter Panzerfaust.
I heard of it.
And I think you may have, people on Twitter may have heard me mention this book. They may have, just in passing, I may have brought up that this that number one is available on Comixology for free, so you can try it for $0, for God's sakes. Be the fans press mo.
Yeah. My favorite ongoing series, and it's only had 5 issues, so it's a little bit, I'm like, can you vote it? But I figured a mini-series, if we could count those in this as well, and some of those are only 5 issues. This is a book that, to me, is the epitome, I think, of my personality, of what I look for in comic book. Tremendous art, character design, writing, just a really, really a lot of fun, and yet there's a lot of depth and pathos in the kind of structurally underneath the book, and that's Archer and Armstrong. I think Archer and Armstrong, and I read a lot of stuff, but I think Archer and Armstrong is a tremendous, tremendous series. It makes me laugh out loud, and yet there's so much more to it. That is my favorite book. That's my favorite ongoing series, no question, of 2012. All right, gentlemen. Wow. That's it. Anybody wants to give us some opinions on our picks or other things or get in touch with us in any way, you can reach us, the show, or we have a group email that we want you to contact, and that's comics@wetalkpodcast.com. Couldn't get any simpler than that. It's comics@wetalkpodcast.com. Once again, thanks to Comicosity for their sponsorship of this show. Thanks to the Comic Podcast Network as well. I am Mo _WeTalk on Twitter. Guys, I think we should go out. You get your chance to plug as well, your Twitter. But let's go out with kind of final thoughts of 2012 in comic books and what you're looking forward to in 2013.
Who's going to start that one?
Well, you know what? I'll start that. I'll tell you what I'm looking back at 2012. I think that there was a lot of talk in this Super Summit about kind of the rise of the creator-owned. Definitely, I do think just the idea of the creativity right now out there is very, very exciting in the industry. Again, I look back at when X-O Manor War, I think it was like issue 60 or something like that in 1996, was canceled. It was because it had dropped to 16,000 copies sold. And I don't think X-O Manor War now is selling 16,000, and it's considered a moderate success. So we are under a different climate. All you can hope is that through Twitter and social media and podcasts and people like that talking about these products that people come back to it and it just becomes more of the creator consciousness, the consciousness of the popular culture. And 2012, I think, was a great year for people to get back into books, and I think that's what I'm looking forward to in 2013. I think we're going to see another year where it's just a great year for people to jump on, because I think we're going to see a lot of creativity, and I'm interested to see the continued jousting and sparring what Marvel and DC have between each other to try and continue to, hey, I'm going to take number one for a few months, and then I'll take it back from you, because I do kind of enjoy that politically. Brett?
You know, I'm actually going to echo some of your thoughts, Mo, because one of the things that I really felt this year was that this was a great year for me personally to get back into comic books as a full-time reader and not just a full-time podcaster.
Yeah. Well, before you were kind of reading trade paperbacks and older series that were many
years old. Yeah, and so this was a great year for finding a lot of new books that I was into, and I do love the creator. I love the fact that this year seems like the year where we learned that comics will survive no matter what, because the comic creators that are out there are always going to continue pushing their products out, whether it's Kickstarter or whether it's Indiegogo or whatever these things, web comics, you know, even just doing something free through Comixology. They're going to get their products out there. And I think it's fantastic. I mean, we've seen lots of great stuff from Comics Tribe, and we've met lots of great people, and I think that, you know, that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to in 2013 is just seeing where all these people go and getting a chance to have been in on the ground floor with them and just kind of follow along in their careers.
Your turn there, Keith, or remember, you're Brett_WeTalk.
Well, actually, I am going to, before we go out, like Brett_WeTalk, but I am going to plug upcoming on Comicosity. I will now be doing a monthly column called Access All Ages. It is kind of a monthly roundup of all ages comic book reviews, some news, some anecdotes, and just overall kind of a little snapshot of the all ages industry in comic books right now.
Very nice, Brett. Chris _WeTalk. What do you got?
Well, I think I'll remember 2013 as a year of innovation. We've questioned what content we can put in comic books. I don't remember a year where...
You mean you're questioning... That's what you're going to think about this coming year? Because you said 2013.
Sorry, 2012 was a year of innovation. We've questioned what content goes into comic books. I don't remember a year with less superhero books really coming out. We've questioned how we do comic books. The digital format has changed the comic industry entirely. We question who can publish comic books. Independent comic books companies seem to be popping up all over the place and really changing the entire landscape of comic books. I don't think Marvel and DC are really the leaders. They may be leaders in dollars right now, but I think that's going to change, and this is the start of it. Very exciting time to be collecting comic books, and I couldn't be happier.
Keith, go ahead, man.
All right. On Twitter, I am CubReporterK. Please follow me if you don't, because for the first time, my buddy Chris here has jumped ahead of me in Twitter followers. I guess my defensive Dan Slott on Twitter has cost me a bit of my following. What I'm most looking forward to, and this 2012 was such an amazing year as I got back into comics, as you know, along with Brett. You know, can't say thank you enough to Mo and Brett, who brought me onto the show a year and a half ago and rekindled that love of comics. And you know, I love every week chatting with my pals about what's happening. That, you know, I'm excited daily now about what's happening in comics, and I love what's happening with creator owned. I love connecting with these creators. You know, this at the Super Summit, incredibly popular, and I can't wait to do that again. And but I think, you know, as we look at you know, the amazing Spider-Man and some of the things we've seen from DC, some of the things we've seen from Marvel now, I think the idea that the superhero books can't surprise us is wrong. I think there are still surprises, and I think that we should be ready for that. And what I want most for 2013 is I want innovation from the big two. I want innovation from the small guys, and I want to politicians talk about having a bigger tent. You need to bring people in. You don't need to close those doors. You don't want to fill the tent. You want a bigger tent. That's what I want for 2013. Bring in everyone. If someone watches Bing Bang Theory, put a Green Lantern comic in their hand. If someone doesn't think they'll read a comic book, slap that the Comixology app on their tablet when they're not looking. Get them to read this stuff, and there is something for everyone. Let's onward and upward.
Awesome. That was awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for a great 2012, and I know we're going to have a great 2013. I already can't wait for 2014 when we do our third We Talkies and Super Summit and everything. This show opens up a lot of opportunities still. Yeah, thank you. Thank you to everybody. And by the way, for those of you wondering, Keith actually won the fight because he was right and I was wrong. My friend Keith was definitely right and I was definitely wrong. So other than that, we're OUT.
Me from running.